Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Yes. Calling forth the enlightened ones, calling forth our ancestors, welcoming all the good vibrations, the good energy to Ancestral Blueprints, Giwaying Mata. You can find out more about them by going to giwayingmata.com. That's Giwa, GIWAYENMATA.org. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning into yourself and tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, and you certainly make a difference. And we're grateful to have you here. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints. I am Life Coach Ade. And I have my wonderful co-host who's going to be joining us soon, Lisa Iverson. And we have another co-host, or co-host, co-co-host, Celeste, running things in the background. Because that's just what it is. That's what was called for. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to the House of Love. Thank you for tuning in. Lots going on, and we're here to support you on your transformation journey, to see yourself, to know yourself, to embrace the changes that are happening in life. Today, we want to talk about honoring our traditions, even if it's family reunion, Easter, Ramadan, you know, Christmas, maybe just something that you do around your birthdays as a family, looking at all that comes with that. Sometimes we'll dread it. Sometimes we'll look forward to it. But it's time to look at it from a holistic point of view and going deep down and asking ourselves, are there some stories that is being told that we're not listening to, or that we're missing, or that we can't see? Why does blah, blah, blah keep happening? Maybe there's a reason. Well, we'll get to the bottom of it, or we will steer the consciousness of humanity to see what wants to bubble up. But before we do that, I'm going to bring Celeste. Hey, Celeste, how are you?
Hi, Life Coach Jose. I am doing great. You are stretching me and challenging me, and that's why I hang out on Life Conversations Radio Network. So I'm so excited about this conversation. It's going to be great. I've got some quick announcements for you before you guys get started, unless you want to bring Lisa on and say hi first.
Yeah, let's bring Lisa in. We just welcome her. Let's bring Lisa in, and, you know, because we're doing things differently today. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, how are you?
We are doing things differently. We really are. Here we go. I had to pull her from the back. Lisa, I'm so sorry. Get in this car.
Let's just welcome our listeners in. Things are slightly different. I'm actually doing the show from inside a car, charging my phone because there's power out in my neighborhood, so I can't have internet or nothing. Celeste is multitasking, and Lisa's there. Yvette is back there, too. So, yeah, so it's Lisa. You there?
I'm here. I am right here. Yep.
Yeah, hold my hand. Hold my hand. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's kind of a road show, you being in your car for this show.
I like that. Road show. That's what it is. That's a good one. See, that's why we had to bring you on early. Yes. Ancestral Blueprints Road Show. We're going to spend everybody's home and wake up the truth. So, yeah, we are going to do the announcement and then continue the conversation, unless you wanted to add anything, Lisa, before the announcement.
No, I am happy to hear announcements and go with the flow. Yep.
Okay. It's kind of weird. I feel like I'm doing the show blindfolded. So, anyway, Celeste, take it away.
It is my pleasure. And I'm just going to leave home. Mics unmuted, okay? Let you guys know. So when I'm done, feel free to flow. Here we go. Welcome, family. So happy to have you here for the Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Hede. I have a quick announcement for you to let you know about some of the things that are happening at lifeconversationsradio.com. Just to remind you, this show, Ancestral Blueprints, airs the last Wednesday of the month from 12 until 1:30 p.m. Eastern. So if you have any pressing questions, don't wait to the last minute. Make sure you get in there before 1:30. And if you happen to miss this show live, all of the shows on Life Conversations Radio Network are archived. You can subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You're also invited to call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Hede can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Life Coach Hede, who has a schedule change. You can find him every Monday from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern on the Ask Life Coach Hede radio show. But there's nothing to fear because you can also catch a syndicated airing of the Ask Life Coach Hede radio show on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. And make sure you don't miss the play experience with Mbasa Safira Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. And you can also catch Mbasa at 2 p.m. Eastern today if you hurry up and register for Relaxation Techniques, Drinks, and Baths with Mbasa Safira. It starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, and I think the cutoff time to register is 1 o'clock. You can multitask. Go ahead and register real quick, and you can register at recipesforrelaxation.eventbrite.com. And then details will be emailed. And I'll also make sure I drop that link in the chat room. And don't forget to join me on Sunday for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. It's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're having a very special Celestial Taurian birthday show. It's my birthday on Sunday, and we're celebrating Taurians and all people ruled by Venus, and we're just going to have a really good time. I'm handing out lots and lots of gifts as well, so make sure you tune in for that. For more information about all of these shows, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com for more information. You'll find a calendar and a listing of all the great shows on Life Conversations Radio Network. Now, finally, since we're not doing a celestial moment today, let me take this opportunity to let you know that 5 is the energy of the day, and 5 is the high priest and the hierophant in tarot. But I was left with an affirmation that I'd like to give to all of you, which is, it is safe for you to be powerful and take charge of your life in positive ways. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Hede.
Thank you, Celeste. Indeed, I am in charge of my life, and I'm powerful. So it's all working together. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yes. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Hede. Number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. For your questions, comments, thoughts, anything you want to share with us, make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And let me bring on Lisa, and we're going to read the description, just to bring everybody in so we can be on one accord and kind of get an idea of the theme of today's show. So Lisa is there. Celeste, can you read the description for us, please? Celeste, when you unmute yourself. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes,
I'm here.
Lisa's here.
Oh, okay.
And I am too. All is well. I feel my ancestors smiling at me. Yes, I do. Ancestral Blueprints, honoring our traditions. Is there a neighborhood in your town that has a questionable reputation? Are there events in your community where some type of disturbance generally happens? Besides the traditions we honor, we will also take the time to explore the impact of ancestral blueprints and how events and dynamics today can be in resonance with unrecognized, unhealed historical events, and that's what we're going into.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you. I listen to them. I have so much flooding through me and flooding, bubbling up inside of me. I got your book here, Lisa Iverson's book, is Ancestral Blueprints, revealing invisible truths in America's soul. And now I'm just going to throw it over to you, Lisa, because, I'm just going to throw it to you. So we start wherever you want to start, whatever you're feeling.
Yeah, well, I think the place to start is how we came to this show topic for today. You know, it was great to get an email from you, Celeste, with you have some kind of rumblings going on inside of you and an idea to check out. And, you know, I really welcomed all that you said in your email, and so I want to invite you in just a minute to share what you shared in that email. What I will say before you do that is that maybe I should just say a little bit about family constellations.
That'll give a little bit of context.
Yeah, for those who are new to the conversation. So, family constellations, also called systemic constellations, it's a method. It's a group, primarily group approach, to helping us see how what has happened in the generations before us might still be affecting us in ways that our minds can't really understand. And so that approach has everything to do with helping us experience how belonging and balance of give and take and order of relationship, where everybody belongs in the family, order of balance between parents and children and in partnership and from one generation to the next, and traumas, how unrecognized or unhealed frozen traumas from previous generations might still be resonating generations later. So that approach is what I specialize in. I work with groups and with people one-on-one. And it helps us reconnect with the flow of life and love and energy with our ancestors. And so it helps us to simply powerfully acknowledge truth that hasn't yet had a chance to be acknowledged and honored. So that's a very little bit of information about that approach. We can give website information later for people to read more. But you can tell by what I'm saying that history, the facts of history in family life matter, and the consequences, the effects can live on for generations in our families. So the same is true with the larger things that happen in life. So beyond our individual family experiences, there are collective things or big things that happen in groups to groups of people that have a big effect. The approach was developed out of post-World War II Germany, so it's really helped provide a sense of healing post-Holocaust in Europe and across the world, all the different traumas we have across the world that are big collective kinds of things. So Celeste, you know a little bit about that work from our conversations, and I want to just invite you to say what you shared in your email with us yesterday.
Sure. I am so happy to do this. I have a personal connection. I'm a Washington, D.C. native, and I grew up hearing about an event that happens after Easter. I can't remember going, when I was of conscious age, but I do know that I used to have dreams of waking up to lions or hearing the sounds of lions. And I told my mom about it, and that's when she told me, well, you used to live by the zoo. And it's a very affluent part of D.C. So I grew up waking up to the sounds of lions roaring. Okay,
well,
so I have a deep connection, and I know my mom, and I know that if there was a free event happening for little kids within walking distance, I can promise you I have an ancestral memory or some unconscious memory of attending this event that I'm about to tell you about as a child. So it is close to my heart. So what this event is, it's called Easter Monday, and Easter Monday is usually a time of continuing Easter holidays and celebrations, apparently around the world. I wasn't even clear about that. I just thought it was just in D.C. until I learned from a day that they also have Easter Monday in London or in England. So in Washington, D.C., though, Easter Monday occurs at the Washington Zoo, the National Washington Zoo. It has a past, and it has some situations that are occurring right now in the present that I thought Ancestral Blueprints would be a great platform to discuss it and explore it. So here's the deal. So I'm following occurrences of violence at an historically black event. It used to be called African American Family Day. They shifted the name, though the event still has the energy of African American families coming together. Now, the reason for this is because the event started in 1891 for people of color to attend the zoo after Easter. Some say it's because black children were not welcomed on the White House lawn, and others say, oh, it was just simply that domestics did not get off of work on Sunday, and they could take their children to Easter events at the zoo on Mondays. Either way, there have at least been two events where there's been violence and gunshots that happened at this event. And I wondered about the ties to our history and issues that are arising now, because there didn't used to be violence at this event. And could family constellations be used to discuss rituals or events based on our physical location, based on, as you said earlier, people coming together, and then this little bit of darkness around? I don't want to judge, but the reason why it started in 1891
would be what? I mean, in order to acknowledge what wants to be seen, we got to tell the story as you see it.
I gotta tell the story. I know you cannot heal and you will not recognize.
That's right.
Okay. Right. So, or is there some background karmic energy flowing, Lisa, in Life Coach today, because somebody a long time ago told little black children that they were not worthy to roll eggs on the White House lawn in 1891?
Lisa?
Well, you know, the history of the questions, you know, the questions reflect the history that's in process of being acknowledged. So, you know, we have a ways to go in the U.S. with acknowledging really truthfully the depth of all that's there in the American soul. And so the land, you know, part of what's really wanting to be seen in our conversation is how place, physical place, remembers history.
Mm.
Even if the people want to block it out.
Mm.
And so that's the thing that the constellation approach, for me, it helps us to consider that. You know, that's Western culture has lost contact with that wisdom. So I just want to just check. I want to just, you know, really kind of stay in contact with others we know through the conversation. The land remembers. So what happens for both of you when I say that?
Well, for me, as you said, you know, regardless of what people want to say or the facts, that the land holds the energy. I started to see this sort of like a field of energy. It's like I was just actually, I felt like I traveled. And when you said, I just want to check, that brought me back. I felt like I can see that in every moment, even now, there is a vibration, and the conversation we're having, we are creating different patterns. So what happens many, many, many thousand years ago, or whatever, 6 years ago, even if it's even 9/11, that energy, there's a pattern that was created, and if it's ignored, that pattern stays solid, and everybody that walks through it, live through it, still is in resonance to that. So for me, as I'm listening to you, it's like it is so important for us to pull back a little bit, especially the intellectual debates and the proving points and saying I'm right, to really listen to what happened. Even if we're buying a house, you know, I'm going a little bit deeper. If we're buying a house, recognizing that before the house was built, there was something there. There was, you know, what was it? Was it a farm? Did they know that? You know, all so things that happen every moment, we are leaving tracks of energy that becomes part of the fabric of humanity. And if we ignore it, I don't know, we don't need to ignore it. That's the kind of thing that was bubbling up for me as you were talking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the... Lisa, can you repeat that? The land holds the memory? I want to make sure I have that exactly right.
The land remembers.
So, that's beautiful.
And there's a lot of mystery I want to acknowledge, too, when I say that
yes.
there's an enormous amount of mystery to how this all goes. But I think that because of that, that what you said a moment ago, Day, that the wisdom in holding back our drive for our intellect to be running the show is really important, is really perhaps one of the deepest callings, invitations for our whole human family during this time that we're living in right now. Because, you know, for me, what I reflect and pray about this quite a lot, the amount of, you know, we live in a country that has so many guns, gun control. Mm-hmm. No, so I don't want to talk on the whole gun control thing, but we got a lot of guns in this country, okay? And there has, in our history, as a country, is quite violent. For as much as we want to think of ourselves as being peaceful people, you know, that America is a peace-loving country, the reality is, and there is truth to that, there's truth to everything. You know, there's a lot of, perhaps, gun violence, bloodshed in our history as a country that's still very much in process of being fully recognized, the cost, price that's been paid for so many on this soil and across the world. But on this soil, in American soil, you know, what we call American soil, you know, I look at when there's like this kind of an incident that you're describing, Celeste, and I think I immediately go to what's the history, what happened on that land. And so for me the invitation to reclaim ceremony as a way to process these histories that are still in process of being acknowledged, that also involves release of trauma. You know, our minds get really trapped in a place of right, wrong, good, bad, justification, defense, attack, these kinds of things. It doesn't help the trauma that's happened be released. So if we just consider histories being processes of trauma being released, then there can be also reconciliation where there's been separation. And that belongs to all of us, whatever our history is. You know, that belongs to all of us because we're here, because we're alive, because we're the ones who are stewards of the future generations. So I really appreciate this example of this this history, this particular specific history. It gives us a little window to be able to kind of consider this, that specific history, but then in a larger lens too for the whole country.
There's so much in that, but I'm going to just tie it to something else, and you know that a lot of people in America recognize as a tradition of family reunion. You know, I hear people talk about, oh, I'm not going to, I can't deal with it. When my families get together, it's too much. Now, I'm sure there's family reunions that are perfect. Well, maybe not perfect is the best word, but people, it's harmonious. And I just haven't heard about it. But I do hear a lot of people complain, I don't want to go to it because it's too much of this. Or even the ones that go, they think it's going to be good. They always come back with this story like, it was hell. They have great moments, too, meeting cousins that they didn't know they had, nieces and nephews. And I wonder if really it's a question is that the history that wants to be seen, the kind of this harmony or the energy not to be part of a family reunion or the strong resistance to say, oh, I don't know, I just don't want to be with them or it's too expensive. Could that also be part of the energy of what's happened in the past? You know, we talked about the land, but what about, how does that look like in families, really what I'm asking?
Oh, totally, absolutely. So in families, yeah, that example, I mean, when a person feels that way about getting together with their family, that's, you know, there's an aspect to that that just has to do with what they've experienced with their family in their grown-up years or as adults. But beyond that, what's also common is that, you know, the previous generations, there were probably some other people previously in the generations who didn't want to get together with family, where there were things that happened or things that didn't happen, where there were some experiences that felt painful, where there was some experience of exclusion. And so a person can be, without realizing it, not wanting to get together with their family out of an invisible loyalty to an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a great-grandparent who had some experience in their day and age that, you know, was difficult. And so we're just not, you know, you've heard me say this many times, but it just is worth repeating. We're not as original as we want to think we are. We're just absolutely not. We think that our minds and our personalities and the American ethos focuses so heavily on the individual. We're really in a process of remembering how much what we're experiencing is sometimes not only our own individual experience. It's influenced, but it's influenced by greater forces. And the gift in that is that many things, but you know, it's not just us. And there's the drive, you know, when there is that experience, it might not feel good, but it's an expression of deep, deep love. We really need to see that when there's a feeling of, I don't want to get together with my family, that's an expression. It's the opposite of what it looks like. It looks like rejection, but underneath it, it's an expression of love and loyalty for, you know, some bigger picture, bigger forces, us people in the family picture, that it's just trying to get all the truths made visible and everybody's place of belonging made visible.
Wow. So someone feeling rejected, disconnected from their family members, feeling like the black sheep or all the other titles that we use, or feeling like the outsider within their family, is, so you're saying that could be a reflection, well, it's actually a reflection of a deep love to somebody in the ancestry, right?
Yeah, there was usually, there's usually somebody else earlier in the generations who was also in that position, being an outsider somehow.
This being called life, it's not for wimps. Oh, wow. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints Roadshow with Lisa Iverson, and you're truly life coach Addy. And, of course, we got Celeste there. Celeste, the number is 347-426-3346 if you want to join in the conversation. And Celeste, I can't see you. I'm not sure if you're screening, but I know you may have something to say, especially what Lisa said about the mm-hmm. African-American Day. So go ahead.
I'm still vibing off of the land remembers because of I didn't grow up in a country. I grew up in the city. But in D.C., though, there are places that feel very country. So when you were saying that the land remembers, at all of these flashes of memories of my deep connection to these woods in my neighborhood that have been cut down. I talk about it all the time, so I'm not going to do it now. But I got a deep connection to when trees get cut down. Like, if I used to play in these trees and then I go back to my old neighborhood and it's all gone, I'm upset. Now, when I think about the zoo, I personally do not visit zoos anymore. I had an encounter with a gorilla who let me know that it was not okay for me to take his picture. And not only, no, I'm being cute. What this gorilla did, we call it gritting, but it's like giving somebody like a mean look and you put your head up and down and look at them like they are nothing. And this gorilla did it to me. This gorilla looked me up and down and turned his back, and he taught me, I am not here.
Mm-hmm.
In this cage. For you to look at me.
Yeah.
And so after that encounter, I stopped going to zoos. I stopped going to circuses. I stopped it all. There's only one circus I went to, but I'm not advertising. But my point is, though, when you ask me, when you say to me that the land remembers, and I'm thinking about, you know, the way this event started, I'm thinking about the participants, and I'm going to include, and I don't know if you've ever done this before, I'm going to include the sentient, powerful animals who are locked up for entertainment as well, but that's a deeper conversation.
Sure.
All of these forces joining together makes me start wondering, like, are we getting taken over? Is this really a cry of, we want to be free, you didn't used to be free? And you couldn't go to the White House, and now y'all want to come up here and celebrate with us?
Mm.
Oh, okay. And I never thought of that before. I mean, I have that thought, but I didn't piece it all together when you said that the land remembers. Because I think not only that the land remembers, but the land contains all the energy of its inhabitants. So all the people and all the animals included in that event, I think energetically, and ancestrally are joining forces on top of everyday economic situations that are happening for us. But I think that there's a root, and I, you know, that's what's on my heart and that's what's on my mind. I want to give it a shout out to the gorilla who taught me.
Give a shout out to the gorilla.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to that gorilla. I will never forget that gorilla because he spoke for his people that day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a lot.
Well, I appreciate everything you're saying, and it's there are none of what you're saying is a stretch for me. I think it's really the value of us being able to just, you know, be in a connected conversation with one another that where there's a safety and a freedom to just say, okay, here's what I wonder about. And then, you know, that allows and it invites each person to have their own experience of whatever that thing is that the person has just shared. So for me, the healing movement with all these conversations is also to have a bit more of an embodied conversation where it's not only from the neck up, you know, where we're wondering or speculating or speaking from our heads, from our minds, but where, you know, you say what you say just now for each of us. And in all places, what would that be like to be able to say, oh, I wonder, this is what I wonder about, and then, you know, see if that resonates at all. That's very different. That's very different than, you know, most of us have been in conversations of, again, right, wrong, good, bad, full of defense and attack.
Yeah.
You know, keeps it going. I mean, it keeps disconnection and keeps unhealed history going.
Yeah. You know, I want to later on talk about this ritual part that you talked about, because I don't know if you're aware of part of the conversation or how what we're talking about showing up, you know, the whole thing about racism in America is a big deal and everybody has something to say about it. And but anyway, I'm going to leave that thought for a minute. I want to go back to where I was before I had this thought that I was about to share. I think of you talking about America with guns, and, you know, there's a lot of violence in America. We hear it almost every day now. In Atlanta yesterday, somebody went in, I think, as a FedEx. I'm not sure if it's a FedEx employee. Okay, yeah, shot himself and shot other people. You know, the school shootings are almost like common occurrence now. Occurrences, we're just kind of like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's almost like checking, you know, their false alarms about bombs found in schools. And people are feeling like we need to defend ourselves. We need to defend ourselves. For me, as I think about that, it's almost like that's still the neck-up approach. Now, depending on where people are listening from, they're like, yeah, you got to defend yourself. But there are a lot of people who try to defend themselves, and they didn't defend themselves. And how long do we want to keep this energy, especially with the awareness? We're waking up, we're really recognizing our power, who we are. The energy on the planet is intense, so everybody's feeling it, or most people are feeling it. Going back to the violence thing, what would you say about the, you know, the shootings that are taking place in schools, that's taking movie theaters and workplaces? That clearly, I mean, from what I know and the conversation we're having, it's all part of what wants to be seen, right?
Yeah. I have, when those kinds of tragedies happen, you know, like I said, I have come to trust. I don't do it with every, I mean, this is the sad thing. There just is getting to be more and more and more and more, you know. But with Sandy Hook, for example, in Connecticut,
right,
where that shooting took place, has a 100-year-old history of Revolutionary War history.
Wow.
And the NRA, and it being close to the, I was refreshing actually this morning, re-looking at it, the NRA, the history of the history of the NRA began in that region, and the NRA began the NRA began just after the Civil War ended by soldiers from the Union side who were embarrassed that the soldiers didn't shoot well.
Wow.
And so,
wow.
So some soldiers from the North went back to Europe to learn how to shoot well. And then when they came back, that region became part of the practice area for learning how to shoot well. So that's a, there's a lot of details I'm leading out, but you can gotta get a sense of the history.
Yeah.
The history of gun and violence and killing in that region is quite intense. And so, you know, I have no idea. I don't know how any of us could know how, why do things happen when they happen?
Right.
But I think it's worth considering that these tragedies that are happening, that are being expressed by, with so many young populations. You know, the youngest, from the youngest shows the pictures that have been passed on from the ones before, whatever those are. Everything rolls downhill. So we could consider that the youngest with these kinds of tragic deaths are showing us the history we've not yet reconciled.
Wow. It shows up in so many ways. I think we've got time before we take a break. Yeah, we do. To kind of bring it home, because everyone is different, and they might think, well, that was back then, or maybe, you know, I don't know where people are listening from or how they're hearing this, but it's like when you said, you know, we don't know why things happen, and even if we say, well, we don't know why it happens, but what we do know is what is happening is happening. So we can all agree that we're experiencing what is happening. And that could bring us to a place to say, okay, how do we go about it? Now, I want to talk about the rituals that you talked about, but I want to use sort of like an example of something that's happened. There's a lot of things happening, but on the race front, I don't know if you were aware of the Clippers, the owner of the Clippers, Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he made this racial comment. And yesterday he was banned from life from going to any games and all this other stuff. And, of course, social media, everybody has thoughts on it. You know, I have thoughts on it. But there seems to be a lot of articles talking about it. Things are not going to change. And, you know, everybody just really married to their point of view. And there are things that I've seen. I just, you know, there are articles that I've clicked on to read. And then as I start reading the first paragraph, I'm thinking, no, I'm not reading this. Because reading it, I contribute more to the energy for me. So I just made it a point, I'm not even going to read. I don't care if they're biased, if they're neutral, if they're biased, or whatever. I don't even want to contribute to the energy. And I find that works for me because I want to go to a place where all of it is being healed. And I know it's not about debating or what someone said. Everything could be taken out of context. And but it's more about, it's an invitation for us all, wherever we are in the world, whatever is going on in our countries, to be able to go, as you said, you know, the idea of going downwards from the neck down as opposed to the neck up. If you want to say anything about that, fine. But I also want to talk about rituals and creating space for healing, because those of us that are listening are saying, here I am. I sign up to be part of the healing. So if you want to add anything about that, sure. And then maybe some things that we can do. I know you share different rituals that are usually quite simple. So, but anyway, I'm just going to throw it over to you.
Yeah. Well, the example that you just gave, what was running through me as you were talking, no matter what side, no matter what anybody's opinion is, it's all love. Like, if we see it as an expression of love, the opinions we have, the beliefs we have, they're not all our own, you know?
Let me interrupt there real quick, because can you break down a little bit more when you say it's all love? Because we all have different understanding of what love is, and
then
some people say, what you mean is all love? What kind of love is that? What is this woman talking about?
The kind of love that I'm talking about has to do with the kind of love that's in the family soul that wants to simply get truth and everyone made visible. So when somebody says something, when I say something, you say something, it's especially got a charge to it, often in connection with trying to get other people behind me seen, made visible.
Good Lord.
You know, so like this person who, like, again, I didn't follow too many of the details myself, again, because it's a big, it's a very big reenactment of some kind. And so I think this is our, you know, again, the history of the U.S., all that's there in our history around taking and being taken from demands that these histories be made visible. So there's a lot of acting it out now. We could do that. We could keep acting the histories out, or we could, you know, if we have the ability to look back and recognize, okay, these are the truths that are in process of really wanting to truly more deeply be recognized. And that's not a small task. We have to do that together. That's my life's work. I'll spend the next, it's what I've been doing the last 15 years. I'll spend the next 30 or 40 doing the same. And there'll be more to do when I'm gone, you know. We each have, we do what we can do in terms of ritual, in terms of ceremony. The call is to come together in groups for ceremony around these histories. And so that's how I spend most of my work life, is leading groups in ceremony. I can't tell, it's not my place to tell other people how to do that. I can do it myself, my corner of the world, and I think there's a deep organic wisdom operating in our human family where ceremony is getting reclaimed. You know, there'll be a time on Easter Monday at the zoo where instead of shooting, there'll be ceremony on that day. The ceremony will be recognizing the history of that holiday in that time, in that place, and that when that is recognized in ceremony, then maybe it affects the level of safety. Maybe the safety can be reclaimed. I don't know, but I think it's worth trying, you know.
Yes, indeed. Because, you know, as you talk about a deep love on a soul level to the ones who came before us, and I think of some of the things I've seen, particularly on Facebook, and how a conversation about Donald Sterling and blah, blah, blah. It could be one line or two line, a whole, you know, pages,
pages and pages, but the comments that come after, it just goes on and on and on and on. And the same thing happens when you're talking about African history, Christianity. People just go in hard and pull in reference and pull in video. So for me, as I listen to you, what I take away from it is my responsibility is to allow even for that. Like, this is one way for people to get that out of their body, voice what wants to be seen. And now, rather than judging people and say, look at that, look at this, or why are they saying that, you just, it's observing, it's like a purging of energy. Because if that's not released, it then gets released in sometimes another way, domestic violence, road rage, or somebody going to a workplace and shooting somebody. So in a way, what is happening in social media and in news is another opportunity for us to release what wants to be seen. That's kind of what I'm taking away from what you're saying.
Yeah. I think we're looking for ways as a species to make truth visible. And we have these abilities through media, through the internet. We've got social media, these vehicles, as a way to express ourselves. And so truth wants to come out. Trauma wants to get released. History wants to get processed and recognized. And so that is a really primary way that a lot of people we have available to us. That's not wrong or right or good or bad. It's good to see what it can provide, and it's good to see its limitation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has, you know, we need lots of different ways to be able to make truth visible. And so when I said that, you know, there's a lot of trauma reenactment, I think that that's true, but there's also, again, this drive for the facts to be made visible, and for the price that's been paid in our histories to be made visible. You know, that's the piece that we've got. We are in process as a country. We are in process with really making visible the price that was paid by our histories as a colonial country, the European First Nations attempt at genocide, slavery, some of these large scale collective injustices, these large takings. We are in process with recognizing the price that has been paid. And until we do that, all of us today are going to be paying prices in very creative ways. We're going to, you know, I look at the healthcare system and all the, like, confusion, like, the fact that it's so difficult for us as a country to make it possible to take your child to the doctor. Look at that. I mean, like, that is me. It's like a very creative way that the soul has of saying, okay, we're all going to pay a price. Until, as a species, we look back together, all of us, no matter who our ancestors are, until we hold hands and we look back together and we acknowledge these deep truths, we're all gonna pay a price. So it's very simple, you know. Everybody's free, nobody's free. That's where we're at. Yeah,
it's interesting, and I know. I mean, I don't think you thought about it, but it's true. You thought about what you're saying, but the idea of saying there is a price, and we've confused price with just money. You know, we talk about the healthcare, so it's going to cost America this, or the insurance companies. Everything is usually when they talk about improving school system. Well, where's the money going to come from? But we are going to pay the price one way or the other. It could be through money, it could be emotionally, it could be spiritually, it could be physically. But a price is going to be paid, and it's going to be paid in full. So we can hide behind money. Okay. We got some questions that are inspired by the show topic, but we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and continue, deal with the questions. So
We're going to take a break. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. The number is 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. And in the meantime, while during the break, I'm sure you can multitask, you can find out more about family constellations by going to Lisa's website. She actually has two. There's one, Family Constellations West, familyconstellationswest.com. And there's another one, lisaiverson.com, Lisa, LisaIverson.com. You can find out more information about her work, her book, else, and gives you a better understanding of what we are, a big topic that we're squeezing into 45 minutes, 50 minutes or so. Yeah, we're going to take a break. Celeste, over to you.
Yes, Life Coach, today we're getting ready for your break, but I also want to let you know you have a caller for after break, and then I want to let you both know how you're landing from some of the conversation that's happening in the chat room. Right now, my computer is moving slow, but we are going to go on break right now. I'm about to work this out, and we'll see you right back after these brief messages. Great show, guys.
Thank you.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the
community. Well, listen to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade, and Celeste Morgan for Ancestral Blueprints Roadshow. So,
yes, I've got stuff for you.
Go ahead.
I've got stuff for you and for people in the chat room. Earthweb, Tamara Joy, Don Wolf, thank you for being here. There are guests in the chat room that I don't recognize, but you're welcome to contribute in the chat room when you sign in to Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to join what's happening in the chat room, you can do that. So the ball's back in your court, sir. Where would you like to start first?
Well, unless you said some of the things they're saying in the chat room, let's hear that, because I can't see it. Lisa might be able to see, but I am computerless.
Sure, I don't understand what is going on with this, but I got it. Tamara Joy and Earthwebs in particular were speaking about how necessary this conversation is, and some of the things that they said, which I agree with, I get it. We really resonated with the land remembers. And Tamara said, amazing how much goes on so many levels all the time. Our bodies remember. The land remembers. Each person around us exudes all that has happened in their lives and their ancestors' lives. No wonder we need our quiet time.
Oh, that is so powerful. It's true. You know, talk about self-care. When we just know, we need to be aware of what we're moving through individually. We could be compassionate with ourselves and others because, like, you don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what truth wants to be expressed through them or why they're saying what they're saying. Yeah, that's so true.
Mm-hmm. And then Ursnap followed up with, again, the land does indeed remember. She gave an amazing example that I will be using. She said, everywhere I've ever lived, I make a small clay vessel, place offerings in it, and bury it on the property to send love to the earth and dial down any negative energy the land may be carrying in that space. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Indeed.
It's my pleasure.
So we have
and
a caller, right?
Have a caller next. Yes, you do. Don Wolf.
Okay. Oh, Don
Wolf. All right.
Wolf.
I'm bring
Don
him in.
Wolf. Don Wolf. Speaking of offering.
For stories. All right. Here we go. Welcome,
oh,
Don Wolf. You're alive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good afternoon. Hi. I'm deeply moved by what our guest is saying. And a lot of thoughts went through my mind because you cannot refute, if you're thinking and feeling what she has said. I want to contribute something to it that I've been pondering a great deal about. And in the spiritual work I've done in reconciliation, I'm not directly posing this to our guests, but I'm putting it out there because one of the things that she's touched upon very eloquently, and it seems that this comes from her, everything comes from her very being. So I'm holding her words close to me. But it seems that as an Indian and as an African, one of the biggest biggest difficulties in the work that has to be done, and that she's very involved, our guest is very involved in. Forgive me, your name isn't coming back to my head.
Lisa Iverson.
Miss Iverson. Yeah. One of the big difficulties, probably the largest difficulties that I've noticed in doing with myself first, and then when I got older and learned a few things in the different circles of reconciliation among African people of African descent and Native folks, is overcoming everything that the whites have taught, and it's an unlearning process. And one of the missing pieces of it, and it's very difficult to do, but one of the missing pieces in that work is the contribution of whites. I'm just talking about the United States right now, because it seems that there's a minority among whites who are at the level of a healer, an introspective, at the level that you are right now. But all around us, you are a strange bird. You're the ideal.
Yes, thank you for seeing what a strange bird I am. It's true.
You're a strange bird.
Yeah,
and you and there are others in my circle who are like this, but all of you strange birds are you're not an endangered species, but you're not the norm. Mm-hmm. So what we're practically faced with are a set of paradigms upon Turtle Island in which the stories are based upon conquest and, as you said earlier, taking and having taken from you. But in that dialogue and in the spiritual work, the resistance to even doing spiritual work comes from what the white conquerors gave to Indians and to Africans. There's a lot of taken away, and I'm purposely leaving a lot out because the reason I'm leaving a lot out is because I'm thinking in terms of how to make it better, how to pull the main actors together. It's very difficult to move white Americans into these discussions because something inside is resistant and does not know how to ask for what they need or to get into saying the words of, in their spirit of, can I be forgiven? Will you forgive me? And so I don't have answers for the group. I just know, as you do, when you do in your circles, answers start coming to you. But most of the answers come from the participants. Mm. And because we're at a stage now where we can bash one another. But in the intimate circles, when you're doing the rituals, you're doing the ceremony, an embracing comes. It does not happen in the social settings that
yes.
we're airing our differences and what makes us angry. And so this goes back to the problem I felt when you were talking of how do you pull people gently, or should it be done forcefully, but it should probably gently, but some, however it's done, pull people into thinking, wait
yes.
a minute, this is an intimate work. Let me get a few people to come together to help me with my mess. But this is not the American culture. Our culture is based upon slavery and the slave master and the slavery. It's so deeply embedded.
Yes.
And with Indians, we're dealing with sovereignty issues. And whites feel, well, we took everything from you, and it's kind of like a ghost, like a dance that's not really there. So how do you make this personal? How do you make it personal? How do you make the invitations? And Ade, you mentioned the large theme of Christianity. So I think what we're doing is we're having to revisit the stories that we base our lives upon. And our stories, myself, all of us, all those stories are not pretty. A lot of them are very ugly. I've found some very mm-hmm. ugly stories inside of me. But what do we do with these stories? And I think that one of the rituals that should be introduced, and I have a sense that Miss Iverson has probably done it, but the ceremonies that involve recapitulation, pulling back energy, is a very fundamental, difficult thing. But I think it's something that has to be done with us individually so that we be able, this is the way we can at least make the step to connect it with someone else. Say, look, I've done recapitulation. I've been pulling the slave stories back and looking at them and letting them, doing ceremony, like burying them here or doing this with fire. Let's do this together.
Yes.
I hope I got some of my thoughts out, but I'm deeply moved, Ms. Iverson, by the way that you have said the words that you said. And I've made an assumption that you were a white woman, and I'm, because of you being a white woman and carrying yourself a womb, there's a weight to what you have to say. Because I basically believe that if white men are going to come to their right mind and connect their heart and mind, I strongly believe that white women who are balanced and understand the deeper things of what's in them can change white men. I don't think angry black men and raging Indians will change white men. I think white women have that power to do that change in white men. And it's in your voice that it makes me feel, wait a minute, there's hope, because there are other women like her, because I've met them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you, Don Wolf. Thank you. There's a lot in there. I'm going to let my co-host, the Strange Bird, respond. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your insight, your wisdom, and who you are in the world. Thank you so much.
Yeah, brother.
I'm going to cry. Thank you for your call. And I look forward to meeting you in person one day. And the best I can see the path ahead for all of us, it's to pray and hold hands together.
Mm-hmm.
And one day at a time. And I deeply trust that there is a wisdom greater than all of us, that's in all of us, that's reorganizing our DNA and our cellular soul, that helps us to remember our humanity, and helping us to remember that place in our family soul where we have so much in common. And from that place, we can look at what's really hard to look at,
right,
and then pass on new pictures to our children and our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to be able to share with you the information about this series of conversations, series of ceremonies that I've convened with another white woman like myself, exactly for all the reasons that you've described more beautifully than I could. So another white woman friend of mine, her name is Kate, she and I have been holding hands for the last many months, and we've convened this series of conversation and ceremony about the internalized colonizer. So we've had, this coming Saturday is our fourth session of circles. And so these are all-day sessions, groups, ceremonies where people come together from all sorts of different backgrounds to be with these truths that and make them visible, how they're living inside of each of us and in the collective. And
yes.
I am grateful to be able to be in our conversation today, and trust that the time will come when we can. So thank you so much for your call.
It is so
Miss Iverson.
Nice. Okay.
Yes.
Miss Iverson, Kate, is her last name Deshard?
No, Regan, her last name is Regan, R-E-G-A-N.
Oh. For a moment,
Kate Deshard, where does she live? That's a familiar name.
Wait, she's in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And she's a keeper of I think, about 80 acres of forest. And we've done a lot of ceremonies over the years. And what you described her spirit.
Oh.
And I thought, wait a minute, maybe our circles are closer than we think.
Well, I imagine that they are. Yep.
Well, I would really look forward to some kind of way that spirit comes so we could break bread together.
That would
be great. And share that, because that would really be a powerful, actually more than powerful, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, if you want to... My email address is Lisa Iverson, I-V-E-R-S-E-N, @yahoo.com. So just email me, and we'll see what Spirit wants to lead us to.
Okay, I'll do that. Mine is, what is mine? Oh.
Don't
you remember
the words, not call.
No, you remember this one. It's Crow Negro 2003 at yahoo.com.
What's your family? Right. You got jokes.
That one's got me a lot of trouble, a lot of dirty looks.
Oh, gosh. All right, Don Wolf, thank you very much. Thank you for your spirit. And, just from what Don Wolf shared, Lisa, I was just thinking, it is such a soul-fulfilling experience to be seen, because what he said about you, it's true, because I know you, and you draw from a deep well, and as you said, we really do need each other, and those of us that are aware, and not that we're aware and others are not, but those of us who are aware from this conversation, what we've learned, what has woken up inside of us, is now for us to take what we have received, what came up for us, to apply that in some way. For me, I really believe spirituality is the healing to all of human disease. Because in that spirit, we are one. And we are expression of the one.
And and if we really think about it, the way we attack each other, if the spirits in our bodies that attacking one another, this called cancer, the cells in our body. So maybe now we could start aligning with who we are individually. I mean, it's a as you said, I really agree that we are part of a process, and we may not see the ending, but that doesn't mean healing is not happening. You know.
Yes, so, that's right. That's right.
We're going to skip the questions. We're getting ready to release the show. Lisa, anything else you want to leave us with or say or share before you go?
Oh, the primary thing is deep gratitude for everybody, all of us who've been together today and for all the ones who will be listening to the recording of it. And may we all hold hands together. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate you. I love you, and thank you for being who you are. Thank you so much.
Back at you. Thank you, and thank you, Celeste.
Yes, indeed. And you can find out more about Lisa's work by going to lisaiverson.com. She's the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truths in America's Soul. Pick that up and get a deeper understanding. Let that be part of your ritual, because we need each other. I need you to survive so I can survive. We need each other. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you, and we thank God for you. Yes, thank you, Celeste. Thank you, Yvette. Thank you, listeners, all of you, those of you who listen, those of you who listen on the archive. Thank you so much. We're all in this together. Keep hope alive and know that you are the answer in this moment. Celeste, give us some information about Hezekiah Walker that you're playing underneath us right now.
Yes, my pleasure. To get more information about Hezekiah Walker, go to HezekiahWalkerMinistries.org. I'll also put that in the chat room. So we'll see you, Life Coach Today, next
Monday. On Monday.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
Hang out with me on my birthday on Sunday. And don't forget to hang out with Ambassador Safira for the play experience tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern.
And her conference call, which you should have registered for by now, go on Facebook. All right. See you guys soon.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will.
It is His will that every seed
I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.